Hey there, friends. Welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. And we're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we examine the book of 1 Thessalonians and learn about turning the world upside down. Let's hear what Kurt has to say.
Welcome back, my friends, to today's episode, today's conversation. I prefer the word conversation. Today's conversation in Everyday Truth, specifically in the book of 1 Thessalonians. It's been our distinct privilege and my pleasure to have my friend Jeremy Pinero with us from the islands of Vanuatu. I'd love to have you go visit someday. Jeremy, how can people come visit you in Vanuatu?
We have a website called reachvanuatu.com. It talks about our ministry there. God's doing a great work, and really it takes you reaching out to us and us communicating with your church and figuring out how you can be a blessing to the ministry there. So, you know, even you can email us at reachvanuatu@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you.
You do yourself well just to add the Pineros to your prayer sheet and think about them and pray for them as the Lord brings them to mind. We've been talking through the book of 1 Thessalonians, which ironically, Jeremy, it's a missionary book.
Yeah.
The Apostle Paul was a missionary. These are people he loved and reached, just like the people that God has sent you to, that you love and that you've reached. He has this mother's heart, this father's heart, really the heart of God for these people. And we've been wading through the second chapter. We found ourselves all the way down to verse 13, where yesterday we talked about how they received the message from Paul for what it was, the word of God. So there's this heartfelt, open reception to the word of God. Sometimes we'll sing that little worship chorus at our church, "Speak, O Lord." And boy, that's the attitude of the heart of one that wants to receive the word of God into his life. And the Apostle Paul applauded them for that. And then in verse 14, he says, "For ye brethren became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us, and they please not God, and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles, that they might be saved, to fill up their sins always, for the wrath has come upon them to the uttermost." So all that to say, the Apostle Paul said, "Hey, I want you to know that you've gone through some hard times, church at Thessalonica. I acknowledge that. But please understand that this is not this is not something that is unique to you. Now that you've trusted Christ as Savior, the same thing happened at the Church of Judea." I think what the Apostle Paul's doing here is he's trying to encourage them by saying, you're not in this alone. Don't think you've done something wrong or somehow the gospel message is wrong because it's brought about persecution. No, what's happening is you're just like the Church of Judea. And understand that people that are persecuting them kill Jesus. The people that are persecuting them kill the prophets. So don't be incredulous when they persecute you. Let suffering actually be a validation that you're on the right road.
I mean, you know, worldviews are such a big thing, and the worldview or the world concept that if you are being blessed by the gods, if the gods are for you, then all these, you know, you're going to be a winner, you're going to be a victor. I mean, this is why they erected temples to certain gods, is they won battles, and so they said, this is what we're doing. And now these guys have entered into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and are suffering persecution. I mean, what a difficult thing to overcome, to realize, but shouldn't we be winning? Shouldn't God be stepping in and intervening and doing something here? And just that gentle reminder of, well, it's going to happen, but right now, this is what took place to the Lord Jesus. This is what took place to the prophets. This is what has taken place to me, Apostle Paul is saying, and just reflecting to them. And I mean, we even have this, we see this in Vanuatu when people make a commitment to enter into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, that sometimes it gets easier, but a lot of times it's difficulty, it's opposition from community leaders, and it's not an easy path, but it's certainly worth it.
And it's important that a mature Christian reminds immature Christians, this is part of it. It's again, to go back to the dad and mom illustration, it's one of the primary ways by which you raise your children. Hey, this is part of life. Life has hard knocks. Yeah, it gets tough. You're going to have your heart broken. You're going to skin your knee. You're going to fall off your bike. You're going to be disappointed. You want to try to shelter your kids from pain and hurt. But ironically, the more you try to do that, the more you weaken them for the future. Parents that coddle their kids, try to keep them from any pain, from any suffering, really increase their future potential for pain and suffering. Think about how often the Bible talks about the reality of a Christian's expectation for suffering. Paul said to Timothy, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Think about that verse, Jeremy. Yea, and all that will live godly. All you have to really do is desire to have a desire to live godly for Christ Jesus, and you're inviting persecution.
Mm.
Think about the verse that the Apostle Peter used in 1 Peter chapter, I think it was chapter 4, where he said, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy." And then James.
James. I mean, exactly what I was thinking.
Oh my goodness. What a great book that is. And throughout the book, account it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. You take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. And on, we could talk about the ministry of Jesus, talk about Daniel or Joseph or really any of the Old Testament prophets. It's all throughout Scripture, isn't it?
It's easy to preach. It's a little bit harder to live.
It really is.
To say, you know what? Thank you, Lord, for allowing this to take place. Like, thank you for counting us worthy of knowing that we'd be able to get through this with your strength and with your blessing. And I mean, some of the things that some of our men in ministry on some of the more remote islands have to deal with as they step out of animism and out of witchcraft and say, I'm not going to take my children to the witch doctor. I'm not going to run down there to that creek and do those things. And the whole entire community is pressing upon them and saying, this is crazy. Your kid's going to die. You just watch. This is going to happen. And to stand in faith and say, you know what? I'm going to trust God in this. You know, and persecution comes in all different forms. But understanding that, hey, this is part of growth. This is part of strengthening your walk with God.
In the book of Hebrews, the writer tells us that even the Son learned obedience through the things which he suffered. There are things that you learn in suffering that you will not learn anywhere else. And there are things that you'll learn about the Lord that you'll learn in suffering that you cannot learn any other way. I think that's why the Apostle Paul said, I'm instructed in some of these trials in my life. They instruct me. It's through my thorn in the flesh that I have seen the power of God evident in my life, the Apostle Paul said. I think that great verse in Philippians 3 when he said, I want to know him in the power of his resurrection, but in the fellowship of his sufferings. And maybe I could encourage you listeners today, if you're really going through it, because some of you right now are really going through it. And what I would say to you is there's a certain fellowship. There's a certain thing you can learn about your own relationship with the care and concern of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you would not know any other way except that you're suffering and that he's touched with the feeling of your suffering, your infirmity, the Bible says. And so these are great verses in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, where the Apostle Paul is simply taking time to remind people, are you going through it? You're not on the wrong road. You're on the right road. It's not when we're suffering that we should question, am I in the will of God? It's when I'm not suffering that I should probably more readily question, am I in the will of God?
Mm. And you're exactly right. I mean, you think upon your life, some of the greatest moments of growth or understanding or learning more things about God come in times of things that you would never wish upon somebody else. God allows something to take place in your life and you think, you know, I wouldn't have chosen this. But when you come out the other end of it, as those things, start finishing off, you look back and think, man, I would not have not want that to come into my life. The things I learned, the growth I experienced, and then like the Apostle Paul, he turns around and it's almost like he's thankful for those hardships and for those times. And here's a guy who persecuted the church, but in turn, now he is on the receiving end of that persecution. I wonder if Paul is thinking, you know what, that was me. And I know that there are more of those guys out there that because of our lives and because we're willing to take this, they're going to turn around as well and be a part of us.
No, that's a great thought. And just to kind of conclude the verses we read a moment ago, think about what does suffering tempt us to do? So verse 13, the Bible says, well, verse 14, brethren, you became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. So sometimes suffering causes us to get self-centered as if I'm the only one going through this. So Paul dispels that myth. No, you're not the only one. You know, Elijah, there are 7,000 others. So in suffering, you're not isolated. I think that's the first thing. Number two, the Bible says they killed the Lord Jesus, their own prophets. They've persecuted us. They please not God. They're contrary to all men. Listen, suffering didn't start with you. This is not something new to your generation. Sometimes we think, well, what are we going to do in our generation? And it's never been this bad. No, it's been this bad. It goes in cycles.
It's been worse.
So you're not the only one. You're not the first generation. And then verse 16, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved. What does suffering do? Suffering sometimes challenges us to quit, to say, just stop. Be afraid, don't go forward, give up. And what the Apostle Paul is saying, no, far from that, let it be an impetus to go forward. Let it be a validator that you are serving God and you are fellowshipping in the same kind of suffering that our Lord faced, and keep on keeping on. You're not the only one. You're not the first generation. You don't have to quit. You can know that same God that was in them is in you, that eternal God can continue to perpetuate your ministry. And so just acknowledging suffering and seeing it from a biblical perspective is going to help you to keep on keeping on for the Lord. But that's about all the time we have today to talk. Boy, I appreciate you joining us. It means a lot to me. I know it means a lot to Jeremy. We're going to finish this chapter, Lord willing, next episode. So I want you to stay in there, keep on listening, and let's let God use his word to literally change our lives. God bless you, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.